I'm Joe Paterno, and come to Penn State, and Michigan beat the Green. It's Beat Sparty Week right here on Sports Talk 1050, WTK The Ticket. I am Josh Zinke, Matt Misler, Tony O, and Jacob Babbitt over there cracking up from my Penn State impression where he wouldn't turn on my microphone, so I had to do it myself. Have a lot of fun here on the playground.
Because it's the number one ranked show.
In the universe. So
we're
talking about a lot of things. Obviously, Michigan, yeah, like you said, I don't know if any of you were able to get down there to the Chrysler Arena, the volleyball game that was going on down there Friday.
I did not get a chance to.
They were trying to beat Ohio State, and the record of fans in attendance, because obviously where they are, it's usually smaller.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like there's a lot of people there. They beat Ohio State. I believe they beat Maryland. Miami of Ohio, one of the M's. Let's just say they're rolling.
Yeah.
What else? There's a bunch of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Around campus.
I've got all the scores from this past weekend. Right.
Let's hear it. What's going?
All right,
fire it up.
So Friday, the swimming teams. So that's probably why JJ was calling in. He was excited.
Yeah.
They beat. Yep. Men and women knocked off Oakland quite handily in both. Field hockey, Michigan knocked off number 15 Maryland 3-2.
Yeah.
So there's that. Women's soccer drew a draw with Iowa 2-2. The women's volleyball team, of course, they moved that to the Chrysler Center. 3-1 Michigan victory over the Buckeyes, so congratulations to the Lady Volleyball team. Obviously, there was a couple of swim meets that happened. Apparently, to mgoblue.com, there's no score for that. But
that's good. They don't need scores.
Exactly. As we fast forward to Saturday, Michigan did knock off Maryland 3-1, and of course, we mentioned it earlier. The hockey team in an exhibition matchup knocked off Western Ontario 10-1. That is your Michigan score update.
All right, so there you go. Michigan looks like they're winning a lot of sports. Great to see all of them. I know
they win all the sports.
They win all the sports. They're doing the best they can, and it's great to have a lot of that stuff on campus, especially with the bye week. So before Rick, the Peach Leech, called in, we didn't get to ask Jacob Babbitt what he thought. Were these sanctions or the FBI, were they going to end up coming after some of the Big Ten folk, as there was a lot of people like, oh, look at SEC, yada, yada, yada. So, Jacob, I ask you, does the FBI maybe take a coach, or are we going to see that at least invade the Big Ten?
I don't really think so, and I kind of hope not. My guess is if it is, it's maybe, you know, one of the bigger programs.
So you're going bigger, where Miz kind of thought it was going to be one of the smaller.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be the case like it was with Auburn and USC, like you guys are talking about. Obviously, Auburn with Bruce Pearl, he's had problems in the past. When you look at the Big Ten coaches, you really don't see, you know, too many shady characters when you kind of look up and down. But yeah, that's just my thought. I mean, I don't really think it will invade the Big Ten. If it does, I think maybe it'll be, you know, one of the bigger programs, if anything, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah, so my worry is that obviously we all know he went to Louisville. The other school he wanted to go to was Michigan State. And now I read some reports, and I'm not going to say there's any sources to it, so I haven't been able to trace it down, is that Louisville was in a bidding war, meaning money war, over Brian Bowen, I believe the kid that ended up going to Louisville.
Yeah.
Now, if there was a bidding war going on and he chose Louisville because they were going to pay him more than, say, the second school, which would have been Michigan State, then obviously I think that it's going to invade the Big Ten. And I don't know it'll be Coach Izzo. See, the thing is, most guys, like if I want something done, if I want to do something behind the scenes, Patino, he thought his head was too big and he thought he wasn't going to be caught. And that's what I think he did wrong. Is he would have said, all right, this is what I want. Like, hey, Miz, this is what we're talking about off air. Mm-hmm. This is what I want you to do. Then come on air and do it. Then guess what? You get caught for doing the dirty laundry. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know that was going to happen. Like Patino came out and said, you know, the day before he ended up losing his job, is pretty much, oh, he's shocked by all this happening. I can't believe it.
What?
Yeah, he denied knowing anything.
Like, yeah.
That's absolutely absurd.
Until he actually, you know, instead of the University 1 and University 2 and Coach 1, Coach 2, and then they started putting names together, and that's when he realized, oh, well, they have those names, so I'm not named. I'm good. I better put out something that I feel shocked about. So hopefully when it comes my way, I can be like, I didn't know that was going to happen. Didn't you see my statement I put out less than 24 hours ago? And obviously, I think there was the him being too big-headed, and instead of trying to say, you, assistant coach, go do my dirty work, and I'm going to tell you what to do, and if something happens, you're going to take the fall for it, but you're also going to get paid by the university because we're going to let you go, but you can go somewhere else, and we're also going to make sure you're taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm afraid of that at Michigan State. I, you know, some of those assistant coaches there, not saying that Izzo is involved anywhere, but I did see that there was a bidding war for Bowen. Now, it doesn't mean that it will come this way, and the other thing I thought of is, what about younger Patino? What about the younger, about the son?
Does it pass down?
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing. Like is it going to be a like father like son situation? Is son Patino going to get popped for something, or what's going to happen?
Right.
I mean, like I said, these 10 teams, it's got to be the tip of the iceberg. There's got to be a hell of a lot more that's going to be coming down, and obviously it's not probably going to happen for, you know, maybe months.
Yeah.
It probably won't end for months, if not years.
Well, because they take the bigger fish and say, hey, we'll give you a lesser sentence if you tell us some of the other guys that were involved, and next thing you know, it goes on down the line, and that's where you'll see these other names. Because, you know, it was four guys to start with, and then obviously Patino and some other guys got added. So mm-hmm. I think, yes, there's bigger fish to fry. The joke on Twitter is that Richard Patino was actually taking kickbacks from Payless Shoes. So because of that, he might be fined about $20.
It's the BOGOs, man. The BOGOs.
Yeah. He was getting those buy one, get one free, and because of that. So I just wondered if you guys' thoughts, because I thought of the whole bidding war thing that I saw, but couldn't find sources to back it up. And then Patino, there is one here in the Big Ten. So
yeah, no, I thought, like, I saw that bidding war too in some of like those documents where they talk about, you know, $150,000, $100,000 being transferred, which I thought was kind of interesting. But, you know, I mean, to your point, I agree with you that, you know, I think people kind of get smart to the rules that they play under. So like a lot of these coaches assume that they're playing under NCAA rules, and so they kind of know how to, you know, how to handle that situation. But I don't think that they accounted for like FBI wiretaps
and
FBI criminal units investigating them. So I think that's what that's the thing to me that seems like this might be like a big, this might end up getting like a lot bigger than anyone kind of expects. It's just the fact that it's actually being investigated by like with the intention that there might be criminal prosecutions at the end of it, as opposed to just like NCAA slaps on the wrist.
Right.
The other big thing I think that hopefully will come out of this is that AAU either stops existing or really changes, because in its current form, like, I don't know how AAU and college basketball can, like, with the idea of amateurism, how they can coexist and, like, you know, have, like, the same pool of players. Because AAU is, like, professional basketball. I mean, it's young high school-aged people, but, like, the shoe companies, like, basically own the teams, sponsor the teams extensively. And then these players go and become amateurs. They go from
being owned by the shoe companies to college, where they have to kind of stay away from most of it. And obviously we saw in this investigation that Tonio wanted to go play for Louisville, but that's not an Adidas school. Well, guess what? You're going to have to go somewhere else where are Adidas. And I know it's came up as far as we've talked to players who went, when we went from Adidas to Jumpman, how many people are so pumped up. So obviously there is some kind of recruiting tool saying, hey, we do have the Nike, we do have Jumpman, compared to some of the other schools that don't.
Right.
So, yeah, and you're right about the AAU, because, yeah, you go from these teams that are paid for to be put together, and then you go to college, and then you're supposed to be the innocent and, you know, the student-athlete.
Student-athlete.
And then end up going to the pros, and, obviously there's going to have to be changes to that as well. And yeah, I think it's going to get bigger and bigger. The NCAA, I don't know if they have enough people to really kind of, I think there's fault on them as well, because obviously they need to be doing that. That's what they're the governing body, and they're not governing even this. And it's almost like this. I'm a sinner. Miz, you're a sinner. Tonio, you're a sinner. Well, we all sin in different ways, but is that fair? Is if it's all right, if you go, all right, well, you do it my way. And I think that's what's happened is there's people close to Patino knew the way he was doing things.
Mm-hmm.
There was another coach that probably knew it was doing things too, maybe not 100% right. And you can't always do 100% right all the time. Now, we have Coach Beilein here, who will, what, go, he's over 15 hours over the 200, and he calls on, you know, lets the NCAA, hey, I went over hours. So you don't have those coaches.
No.
A lot of them will go, all right, well, I'm going to do this. You do your thing, I'm going to do my thing, and we'll just kind of play it off as you're doing your thing and mine.
Yeah.
Maybe mine works better than yours, but you know what? Let's just not tell anyone. I think that's where the NCAA went wrong, is they're letting everyone sin in their own way and saying, all right, well, he's doing it too, so I guess it's all right for us to do it. And that's where it – and then you have Mr. Pitino, who, is probably the top notch. He's the top guy, and he thought he was too big for it, and not knowing the FBI was listening or knowing what was going on. And yes, and then for the Bowen kid, you got to feel for him because he's not going to be able to play anywhere. He can't go to
– no.
Michigan State or Oakland University or EMU. He can't go anywhere because obviously...
Hello, Europe.
Yeah, he's going to have to for a year or two.
I did, and I listened to a bit of one of Dan Dockich's podcasts recently where he was talking about this, and he was basically calling on... He was commenting on the fact that no other of the currently active big-time coaches are speaking out about this publicly, like Calipari, Izzo, Krzyzewski, right? You can kind of – those caliber coaches, right? Hall of Fame caliber coaches, how they're not speaking out on it. And I agree. I think they should. But his point was that the second that they get that they get some level of confidence that they're clear, you're going to hear them instantly being all high and mighty and about how this is how what, you know, Rick Pitino did was horrible for the game and how it has to end. And I think he's absolutely right. None of them say anything right now because they're all kind of like, well.
Right. They've all sinned in their own ways, and they hope that the FBI wasn't listening to their phone calls.
Yeah. You can hope.
So we'll wait and see if it comes into the Big Ten. Like I think it was Thursday, you were out at Suburban for the M Zone.
Yep.
And I sent you the message about Brad Underwood, right?
Yeah, Brad Underwood, the assistant at Okie State.
Yeah, he was the
– Oh, no, no. Oh,
he was the actual coach.
He was the coach of Okie State, then left for Illinois.
Right.
But the assistant was one that took the bullet.
Yeah, he ended up – we'll say that. But yeah, more than likely, from what I've read, is the timeline with – Evans, who was fired or let go, or he's one of these guys that was on that FBI list, that pretty much the timeline doesn't cross over with Underwood, meaning he didn't know really what was going on. Underwood just left, hired him, and then he was there for a little bit. Underwood went to Illinois instead of staying at OK State. So I think he'll be cleared. I don't think he'll be caught up in any of this. He might be one of those guys that says, all right, I know that's happening over there, but I don't want any part of it, so I'm going to go somewhere else. Could have been one of those things, but we'll have to wait and see, because I'm sure with I think Evans was the guy that was fired from OK State, and he's in this corruption part of it. Obviously, they're going to have to talk to Underwood, too. You got to talk to everyone that's around.
You have to. I mean, if the unders are getting hit with stuff, you got to go to, you know, the main source of, you know, who is there, who is the coach there. Because, I mean, you can't just let... You can't let the cronies just take the bullet for that one. You got to go further up, and obviously you're going to hear Underwood just say, "I had no idea about it too." He's going to pull a Pitino as well and say, "I had no idea." You're going to see a whole bunch of coaches that of that same stature. You know, Bruce Pearl's going to say the same thing. I'm probably sure he already did.
But he did have a barbecue, so he's
oh yeah,
great
that's
barbecues.
Right. Yeah, I hear the Bruce Pearl barbecues are off the chain.
Off the chain, and don't tell anyone else about these barbecues. Yeah.
Did you guys see how Pitino released a statement
right
before his interim coach was being introduced? That's just a terrible thing to do.
Right, because he's
a horrible, horrible thing to do.
Right, and you saw when he came out that day and the reporters tried to talk to him and ask him, "Are you fired?" Which is an awesome question to kind of just throw at him.
You have no, and then he was like, "You have no right to be here." When in the meantime he was, you know, gone, so he really didn't have a right to be there either. So
next question: are you fired? Next question: are you fired? Next question. Okay, let's change wording.
Are you terminated?
Okay, let's change that up. Are you S-canned?
So, all right. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about Big Ten yesterday.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of games, and it was kind of hard because Michigan wasn't playing any of them, so it was hard to kind of like, I'm pumped for this football. And I kind of just turned the channel, watched a few of them. Wisconsin beats Northwestern 33-24. It was a game for a while. I think it was a game longer than it should have been.
Yeah.
Wisconsin pulls out, though. They scored 14 in the third, 12 in the fourth, and to get past Northwestern. Maryland, Minnesota.
Well, it looks like you're wrong about Minnesota being undefeated coming into Big House game.
That is correct, and that's what I was going to say. So that kind of jumbles up, I think, with that, and then also with the Iowa-Michigan State, which we'll talk a little bit about, and plus we'll break down Michigan State a little bit,
okay,
is that it kind of jumbles all these teams together.
Yep.
And it leaves those undefeated. So last week, I think we had 24 undefeated teams. This week, only 17. Well, Michigan is one of them.
Yep.
So be happy about that. But, yes, Minnesota, man, just back and forth. Maryland had, like, the eighth-string quarterback in. Can't even pronounce his name. That's how old, you know, third string, was a linebacker one time. Maryland seems over the last few years has had this problem with keeping quarterbacks healthy.
Bortenschlager.
Yeah, exactly. As you said, Bortenschlager, we'll move on. Minnesota, yep, now 3-1. Penn State beats Indiana 45-14, scores 28-0 first quarter.
I mean, really, in hindsight, they probably could have shut out Indiana. They really could have.
Yeah, no, Indiana's not that good, especially against Penn State. Barkley, McSorley, they good.
Yeah, they good, man. They are very good.
Iowa, Michigan State, the fans left early for this one. I watched some of the game. 75,005, and when I was a State fan, a lot of people said, you guys were so you're put. Well, guess what? Yesterday, it was a close game, and still, student section was pretty much empty. Up top was empty. Even some of the closer seats, empty. What's going on? Why don't you stay the entire game, especially when it's a close game?
No clue. I'm not a Michigan State fan, so I can't really answer that. But
let's ask one. Tonio.
Yeah.
I am not a Michigan State fan either.
The man of the ring, who is a part of the Ring of Honor of MSU.
I am not.
Do you have a Ring of Honor?
Affiliated.
Do you have a Ring of Honor?
So no. Michigan State gets the W, 3-1 now. Iowa, you know, now 3-2. Iowa, see, I went, this is one of those ones because they were favored by 5, Michigan State was. And I'm like, what? Iowa State almost beat Penn State, but yes, it was at Iowa, which is a little different from playing in East Lansing. But yes, Michigan State gets the win they need, which makes this game even more important Saturday night.
Congratulations on tying your win total last year.
Ohio State beats Rutgers. Rutgers beat Morgan State. So what would have been the score of the Ohio State-Morgan State game if they played?
130-0.
There you go.
Probably even more than that.
And then, what, Thursday or Friday, Nebraska beat Illinois, which kind of puts those, you know, in the middle as well.
Yeah.
So a bunch of teams in the middle. And yes,
you're either top or middle or bottom. There's nothing in between.
Well, no, that's the middle then.
There's nothing in between that. There's not like oh, it's either first or your second
last.
Or last.
Right.
Ricky Bobby.
Exactly.
First loser.
Big red.
So any takeaways from any of these games that were played in the Big Ten?
What's that?
Any takeaways from these Big Ten games you saw, you want to talk about, you want to throw at me?
I mean, the Maryland game, that was... I know it hurt for you, but I think a lot of people... That game probably should have been more... That could have been a nighttime game on Fox. The way that game turned out, it was... That was a good game. That was a nice, gritty game. Back and forth, Maryland winning, you know, in the fourth quarter with about a minute and change left to go. That in itself was a great game. Iowa, Michigan State, that was boring. It was really boring, especially in the second half. That was boring.
So, looking at your Big Ten East right now, Penn State, Ohio State, both 2-0. Michigan, Maryland, and Michigan State, all 1-0. Indiana and Rutgers pulling up the back. They are now both 0-2. So far, Rutgers has gave up 129 points, scored 109, but we know most of those are against Morgan State.
Yep.
The surprise leader in the West is Nebraska. They are 2-0.
Really?
2-0 right now. Wisconsin 1-0, and everyone else 0-1, and Iowa 0-2. Didn't see that.
Did not see that.
It really is amazing how lopsided the two divisions are of the Big Ten. In one, you have Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Maryland is now good with DJ Durkin, and Michigan State. In the other division, I guess Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, that's about it.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll probably see that all, like, rejumble back up when we come back next Sunday. It's just going to be all kinds of crazy.
I've been saying this since it started, where, like, I mean, in one division, you have all of the consistently good or, like, once every 3 years really, like, good teams.
Yeah.
And in the other, you just have Northwestern and... Illinois and Purdue.
But what would you take out of the East? Would you say, because obviously you want to play Ohio State almost every year.
Yeah.
So you want to leave them in there. Michigan State's going to stay in there. Mm-hmm. So is it Penn State that you kind of put in the, but you can't call them a West school when they're in the East. Yeah,
that's the problem.
Yeah, so obviously I know what you're saying, and they do have a title game now, so they could easily put, they could just change these two up and name one like the Desmond Howard East and the, you know, whatever West, because didn't they try to
do
that?
The J.J. Watt West.
The J.J. from Linkin Park West and jumble it all together. But, yes, you're right, Tonio. It doesn't look, I mean, because whoever comes out of the West does have a good shot at finishing second in the Big Ten when you lose to that in the actual championship game. But right now, that's Nebraska, your front runner at 3-2 on the season.
Who'd have thunk?
But 2-0 in the actual Big Ten.
Who'd have thunk?
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Michigan State, and then we got winners and losers. You're listening to the Playground, the number one show in all the galaxy.